a gavotte of pus, number 233. It's called More Unnecessary Adjectives, and the references can be found on the February 20th, 2024 science-based medicine blog of the same title. This is going to be a mostly reference-free blog entry, mostly a rambling opinion about my biases and opinions about science. And you know what they say about opinions. I seem to fret an inordinate amount about adjectives. So often they do not belong in front of the nouns found here at the blog. I remain a touch annoyed at the need to put science-based in front of medicine in our title. But given the unneeded and misleading adjectives like complementary and alternative that can also modify medicine, I see the need. I think I might have gone with reality-based, but that's just me. As has been noted, what do you call alternative medicine that works? Medicine. Some nouns just do not need modifiers to understand what they represent. So when I received my weekly copy of Science, I saw the title of the editorial, Time to Support Indigenous Science, I cringed. First, I wondered just what is indigenous science? How does it differ from science? Except for the prefix pseudo, science doesn't require a modifier. I read the editorial, and as we will see, it gave neither a definition nor an example as to what constitutes indigenous science. So I went to the Wikipedia. Quote, indigenous science refers to knowledge systems and practices of indigenous peoples, which are deeply rooted in their cultural traditions and relationships, understanding of an indigenous nation's territory or place. Now, knowledge systems and practices are very valuable and important, but does not science make. So not helpful in seeing why the adjective needs to be added. Quote, indigenous science is holistic. Ugh. Holistic, of course. Like organic or natural, advertising copy that sounds good, but in practice really adds nothing to understanding. Usually, it means a patina of supernatural or the spiritual. Again, ain't science. More the opposite of science. Doesn't mean unimportant or lacking value. It's just not science. As an aside, if you really want holistic in medicine, the only truly holistic practitioner is an infectious disease doctor who has to understand disease at the molecular level, through the cell, to the organ, to the human, to the family, to the city, country, and finally the world. All others, alternative or real, are just posers. Just saying. Quote, it follows that the same methods of Western science, including, but not limited to, observation, prediction, interpretation, questioning. Okay, nothing unique here. These are the methods by which humans have always evaluated their environment. It is how I figured out why my kitchen light isn't working. But again, while part of science, it isn't science. The same processes have given us homeopathy, Tong Ren, and the world's religions. And, quote, indigenous knowledge and experiences have traditionally been passed down orally from generation to generation, like how most human knowledge and experience is passed on, be it traditional Chinese pseudo-medicine, how to be a master carpenter, or how to be an infectious disease doctor. Perhaps the most important part of medical education is at the bedside, where a more advanced practitioner demonstrates how to obtain a history, to do an examination, which they learned at the bedside from their attending, and so on back to the beginning of medicine. An important and valuable way to learn that is not unique in any way to indigenous people. Look at all the meetings people have, and podcasts, and YouTube, and more, blah, 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 blah. If anything, we have too much oral information being passed on than ever before, and not necessarily accurate or correct information. To determine that, one needs, let's see, how about science? Some societies have supplemented the learning with writing and videos, but passing on knowledge from person to person through the generation thrives in all societies. Another site noted that, in contrast to indigenous science, quote, it encompasses such aspects as spiritual experience and relationships with the land. It is a way of life rather than being just the knowledge of how to live. It is the actual living of that life. which is not science. Important, of course, but it ain't science. It is why when I read the title, my heart sank. Like alternative medicine, it appears to be the same mindset as leaking into the sciences. Why are modifying adjectives superfluous with that particular noun? I suppose that begs the question, what is science? The Britannica definition, I suppose, is as good as any. Quote, science, any system of knowledge that is concerned with the physical world and its phenomenon, and that entails unbiased observation and systemic experimentation. In general, a science involves a pursuit of knowledge covering general truths or the operations of fundamental laws. And there is that whole Karl Popper theory of falsification, which is always popular. But neither is of much help in understanding that editorial, because the terms used are not defined or used in a sloppy way. There is science, whatever that is. There is the numerous disciplines, chemistry or biology or physics, etc., that make up the sciences, plural. Those areas of the pursuit of knowledge to understand the nature of reality. There's the scientific method, whose application and methodologies vary from discipline to discipline. And finally, there's the application of that knowledge, like medicine or engineering. All are important but are not equivalent, and are used interchangeably in the editorial that follows. And one last note. My bias is that there is one reality, independent of humans. Yeah, do not give me that multiverse hypothesis or the quantum ideas that human interaction, i.e. measurement, determines reality. As my quantum mechanics professor noted years ago, what happens at the quantum level doesn't necessarily occur at the macro level. Fire single watermelons at a double slit, you don't get an interference pattern of watermelons. You just get a mess. So, U.S. culture notwithstanding, my bias is there is only one reality, as approximated by the sciences and the scientific methods. How people respond to that reality or apply scientific knowledge to reality is as varied as there are humans on the planet. Quote, faced with profound challenges of a rapidly changing environment, society needs other ways of knowing to eliminate? No. I'm going to keep that screw up in. Quote, faced with the profound challenges of a rapidly changing environment, society needs other ways of knowing to illuminate a different way forward. Other ways of knowing. Sigh. Where have I heard that tired trope before? I write this on my computer at 35,000 feet on my way to Southern California to escape the Oregon winter. There is no other way of knowing to keep this plane in the air or the electrons from hitting my screen. Topher Lysenko is an example of another way of knowing. Like most alternative ways of knowing, the results were less than satisfying. Quote, thanks to the leadership of Indigenous scholars and allied contributors, Indigenous knowledge is receiving long overdue recognition for its potential to provide solutions for the thriving of lands and cultures. An urgent question is how institutions can appropriately support and not hinder Indigenous science's role in creating a sustainable future. See, they use the term science and knowledge interchangeably, which they are not. As Emily Lotella would note, that's different. Knowledge is not science, and a lot of expertise and knowledge can be obtained without science. I had tremendous knowledge and experience in infectious diseases at the end of my career, but it wasn't due to being a scientist. It is confusing at best to conflate knowledge and science, but they do. Quote, after years of marginalization by Western science, regard for Indigenous knowledge is reaching high places. For example, in 2022, the White House called for elevating such knowledge in research, policy, and land management. This is extraordinary given the United States' track record of attempted erasures of Indigenous thought through policies of removal and forced assimilation. And using that knowledge is, needless to say, entirely appropriate. Humans can have all sorts of specialized knowledge. I recently read a book about wolves, and they discuss how the observation of wolf behavior by Native Americans was spot on and much more sophisticated compared to biologists. But the acquisition of that knowledge wasn't science, and is not necessarily correct. Quote, there is a global groundswell of indigenous-led research on stewardships of land and waters, providing opportunities for indigenous and Western knowledge to flourish together, which is wonderful. The more people and cultures that participate in science, the better. Quote, the goal is to identify and advance models of ethical and effective integration of indigenous and Western sciences by creating mutually respectful and reciprocal relationships between them. What, pray tell, is this indigenous science of which you speak? Like Eastern and Western medicine, one that works and one that doesn't? Is there a different methodology? Quote, CBIKS is a prime example of a model that supports research guided by a worldview and priorities of indigenous peoples around the world. Similar initiatives in Australia, Canada, Aotearoa, if I pronounce that right, New Zealand, and elsewhere are also leading the way. For too long, indigenous peoples have been fighting for a voice and decision regarding their lands, waters, and lives. Indigenous-led research efforts will point to different paths forward, those in which indigenous people do not have merely a seat at Western science's table, but are setting research agendas that reflect their own priorities and protocols. No problem there. That sounds great. People should absolutely have a say in what happens in their lands, seas, and lives. Different peoples have different values that should be respected and considered. But that ain't necessarily science. Quote, while celebrating these developments, the responsibility of institutions should not be overlooked. It is crucial that the new enthusiasm not take the form of knowledge mining, akin to a company suddenly recognizing the value of a previously overlooked mineral, rushing in to extract the ore for its own benefit, and leaving behind toxic tailings. Supporting and engaging Indigenous knowledge first and foremost involves supporting Indigenous communities. Attempts of outside actors to incorporate Indigenous knowledge into their own work without full consent of Indigenous communities is highly extractive and undermines the sovereignty of these communities over their own knowledge. Again, my bias, there should not be sovereignty to knowledge. One of the aspects of human knowledge and the sciences is that it should be available to all so that all can benefit. This seems like a call to the equivalent of the ever so aggravating paywall that slows or prevents the acquisition of knowledge from the medical literature that could improve patient care. Knowledge of how reality works belongs to every human being equally. But that's my bias. Quote, collaborators intent on supporting Indigenous knowledge systems might instead learn, listen, and, if requested, contribute their own knowledge or research resources to communities. They might support local governance sovereignty, the return of expropriated land, and the rematriculation of ancestral remains and cultural treasures held in museums, university, or private collections. Certainly. But again, that ain't science. Supporting Indigenous-led research also requires addressing the well-documented institutional barriers that limit full participation and visibility of Indigenous worldviews. Again, worldviews ain't science, any more than, say, the worldview that the Earth is, say, 6,000 years old. I don't want that incorporated into my... true. Quote, certain embedded protocols may be at odds with Indigenous values, ethics, and processes. For example, Indigenous-led research is supported by environments where the metrics of success not only include the number of scholarly papers published, but also recognize the enhanced well-being of land and culture. Patronizing much? I read this paragraph and the whole editorial as implying that Indigenous people don't have what it takes to play in the big leagues, which is nonsense, and will only lead to mediocre science and mediocre scientists. Understanding reality with the sciences is extremely difficult. Just go through the, to me, mostly incomprehensible, papers that make up the content of an edition of Science magazine. I assume a journal that only publishes the best of the best. Amazing stuff. And like any human endeavor, it isn't easy to be the best of the best. Suggesting that some shouldn't bother or not up to the task is not the road to success. Quote, countries must advance policies that support rather than infringe upon the wisdom, sovereignty, and rights of Indigenous people. To realize the transformative potential of this approach, a climate must be created that values pluralism while protecting sovereignty of diverse knowledges. There's one knowledge. In this way, solutions can emerge from the symbiosis of Western and indigenous knowledges that can benefit everyone. Sounds good, except what is protecting sovereignty of diverse knowledges? If you assume, as I do, that there is but one reality, then there is but one knowledge, one template for understanding that reality. And again, my bias, it belongs to all humans. For centuries, indigenous scientists have had to adapt to and develop fluency in Western modes of knowledge making. Because, I don't know, it works. Its application can suck, no doubt about that. But there is no Western mode of knowledge making, at least not one that has led to understanding of reality that's demonstrated every week in the pages of science. The beauty of science is that at its best, it is one of the few human endeavors that is universal and whose results are independent of human culture. It is now Western scientists' turn to learn from and respect indigenous science. Well, we reached the end and still have no idea what this indigenous science is and how it differs from knowledge acquisition. And respect? That's a curious word. I was taught that respect was something earned on the basis of words and deeds. Everybody gets the benefit of this doubt at the start. Homeopaths, chiropractors, acupuncturists, for example, have diverse knowledges and even play at science. If your worldview is based on a fiction, however, the science is at best play, and I have no respect for either the worldview or the science. It hasn't been earned. I have always been picky with House staff and how they describe cases, of the opinion that precision of speech represents precision of thought. Knowledge equals science? This one would get a fail. If the headline had read, "Time to support Indigenous scientists," or "Time to support Indigenous knowledge," well, sure, of course, duh. And how are we to determine if the knowledge and understanding gained by Indigenous people is a valid understanding of reality? Science. What else? Because Indigenous people are first and foremost people, and so heir to all the biases and flaws of our species. Science is the only human endeavor that attempts, however imperfectly, to rise above our biases and flaws rather than being based upon those biases and flaws, and seeks to reinforce rather than overcome them. But instead, the editorial presents the same old nonsense that medicine is endured with scam and appears to be metastasizing. Science does not need a modifying adjective. And that brings us to the end of Agavra Puss 233. References are available online at Science Based Medicine from the blog entry with the same name. And don't forget, I have multiple books available at Amazon. The various Puss Whisperer books, my Skeptics in the Pub Cholera, my first novel, and there is also a collection of my earlier science-based medicine blog entries called Fly in the Ointment. Otherwise, talk to you next time. Bye.